And then at 3 o'clock again, it was to be filled, so that it would never go out in the tabernacle. But Eli and his sons did not tend to the things of the house of the Lord. And it says in Scripture, in verse 3, that the Lamb of God went out in the temple of the Lord. God uses physical men and women to take care of the things of God. And so here they let it go out, their light go out, which was the light for all of Israel. We need to make sure that the light that God gives us, his anointing, his power, his presence, who he is, never goes out in our hearts and in our lives. That we tend to it. We take care of it. That we tend to those things of spiritual nature. It says that we are made of spirit, blood, soul, and body. Why does God say spirit first? Because that's the most important thing. That's the thing that will live on forever. That spirit and that soul. The body will deteriorate. It will go back to the earth as dirt. It will go back. But the spirit man, the soulish man, will live on forever. And the lamp that was there, that signified the lamp of God that was shown forth, went out. And why did it go out? Because there was no oil in there to keep the light shining. See, the oil of the Lamb of God is God's Holy Spirit, God's anointing, God's power that rests upon the church. You see, what makes the difference from the house of the Lord and any other organization, whatever it may be, whatever it may be. And there's some great organizations out there, great people that are doing great things. But what makes the difference between the church and any other organization is something that God has given to the church and the church alone, and that's the Spirit of the living God. And if that light and that spirit, the anointing, the presence of God, the power of God goes out, everything is lost. Everything is lost. We got to maintain it to the best of our ability in what God says to do. And as we do our part, the Spirit of the living God comes in and does what needs to be done. See, they did not tend to it. You know, they probably were sleepy, so they slept late. And they didn't get up at 9 o'clock to fill it up. They wanted to go on vacation, and there's nothing wrong with sleeping late or going on vacation or doing this. You know, all that stuff. But their duty was to take care of the house of the Lord and what was going on in it. Because you see, Israel without God is just another nation, a godless nation. But Israel with God and with his spirit is God's people. And the anointing rests upon them, the Jewish people. It's an amazing thing. You know, we all have our Bibles. And God chose the Jewish people to give us our Bible. Every one of them that wrote this. Now you might say, well, they were inspired by the Spirit. That's right. But God used these men to write the scriptures down. That's why we know that the enemy is out there ready to try to destroy Israel, because he hates, because the living word has been produced and given to this earth by him. And he hates them. But you know what? And he's trying to snuff them out however he can. We know the Holocaust, you know, that big scenario thing that happened where I don't know how many millions of Jewish people were killed in furnaces and all kinds of stuff. And I know it has a lot to do because they turned their eyes off of God and they turned to other things. And God will let certain things happen. Not that God did it, but he'll allow certain things to happen. but their light has been turned off. We got to make sure that our light stays on. We got to make sure that we get out there and we trim that lamp. We got to make sure that we put oil in that lamp. We got to make sure. We have to make sure that we keep supplying it. We keep supplying it. It's an amazing thing that God made them do it twice a day. Don't you think they could have made that lamp big enough that they could have only had filled it once a day or once a week or even maybe once a month? If you want to even go further than that, once a year. Huh? Oh, you can go that far. But God didn't allow it. He made them come to a place where they would have to tend to it. We got to tend to ourselves. We got to tend to those things on the inside of us. We got to tend to those things, the light that is there. It's not our own light. It's a light because of what we've done. We've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and He came and He lives in us. He is the light of the world. Amen. So we have to shine that light to the world. Whatever way we can, shining that light. But we can't shine a light when the lamp is burnt out. When there's no oil in the lamp. When the wick is gone. So we got to preserve and make sure. We got to know without a shadow of a doubt that that oil is in that lamp. The oil of the Word of God. The oil of prayer, the oil of interceding and getting before God, the oil of praising and honoring Him. Look, this morning as we were worshiping, the presence of God came into this place. The anointing of God. Because we were gathered together for one purpose and one purpose only. Not to lift up any man or woman, but to lift up the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And where God is lifted up, He says He will draw all men unto Him. Praise be unto our God, for He is greatly to be praised. We need to look to Him. We need to make sure we take care of those things on the inside of us, trimming those lamps, putting that oil on the inside, doing those things so that it does not go out. And I know sometimes we can get very busy. Work and all kinds of those important things, work and family. But we got to make sure we take care of the oil of the lamp that's in us. We got to make sure we're made of spirit, soul, and body, that we take care of those things and not put it to the side. And not put it to the side. Look at this. And, verse 3, and there the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. It's an amazing thing. Where the ark of God was, the light went out. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." And he, Eli, said, "I called not. Lie down again," and he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you did call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again."
Is he on the next freaking
thing? Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for you did call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah, just keep on reading.
God didn't talk to the priest. Here
you are. Yeah, you're there.
They were in the same place. But God spoke to Samuel. God spoke to Samuel. Not once, not twice, but three times he was called his name, Samuel. And Samuel got up because he didn't know who was the Lord. And he ran to Eli the priest saying, "What do you do?" Did you see Eli was getting dim, couldn't hardly see? His sons, where were his sons? Not helping him. Not taking care of the things of the Lord in the house of the Lord. God called him again the second time, and he ran to Eli. He said, oh, I wonder what he wants. And Eli said, look, I ran to him again the third time when God called. Well, when his name was called. Thought it was Eli. And Eli, thankfully, Eli had not backslidden so far that he couldn't give him good judgment. And he said, listen, Samuel, if someone calls your name again, say, Lord, speak to me. Listen. And it says, again, the Lord spoke and said, Samuel, Samuel. And he said, Lord, speak, here am I. And the Lord started to speak to him some things about Eli and his sons. It's a sad story, in a way. Because Samuel had to get up later that next morning when Eli said, what did the Lord tell you? He had to tell him the fate of his sons and himself. But the most sad part is that Eli never did anything to change the hearts of his sons. Because his sons were wayward. They were not serving God. They were doing their own thing. They were not taking care of the things of God, and God had called them to do it. But Eli didn't take the time to call his sons in, as scripture says. It doesn't say he did anything to correct them, to take care of things, to do what needed to be done, to get things right, to call them to a place and have them come in and put audio in the lamps. People, we got to take care of our spirit man on the inside of us. We got to take care of those things. Don't let the world take the place of God. Don't neglect your spirit man. Take care of it. Take care of those things. Do what needs to be done to make sure that your spirit man is fed the word of God. You know, hey, nowadays there's all kinds of things that we can do. From having the word of God in our cars to listen to it while we drive in the world.
Audible.com.
Music, whatever. All kinds of things. But take care of those things so that none of us comes to a place where God has to use someone else to come like he did to Eli to correct his sons and even the priests. This was a young boy. A young boy. By the time he was brought to him, Eli, in the temple, but by the time God spoke to him, they say about 14, 15 years old. A young boy. That God would have to choose a young boy to get the word of God out and bypass Eli and his sons. We got to make sure things are taken care of. We got to know the voice of the Lord, people. We got to know his voice. And we got to build our house on the rock that stands for him. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. Matthew 7. And also a matter of note, be careful about the books you read. Just because you go to the Christian bookstore and it's on the Christian section doesn't mean it's Christian. There's a lot of stuff in there that's not. Make sure. Just because you put on your Christian TV and you have these people come up and they're selling all kinds of stuff doesn't mean that it's godly. Be careful. Know. You know, the scripture says this, know them that labor among you. No. Be careful. Now, we know this. We can take the word of God and we know that's true and consume it. But be careful about that stuff. There's all kind of people out there. So we got to be careful. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which builds his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. We got to build our house upon the rock, because the winds will come. Your foundation has to be the rock of Jesus Christ. I know a lot, you know that shooting that happened at the theater thing, all that stuff? That rocked a lot of people. I mean, their foundation, you just, because it's so close. Now, and I know that happened in Lafayette, but you know there's shootings all over the place. Just come walk with me. You hear about it all day. I mean, I'm telling you. I mean, you hear about it. But you know, we gotta make sure that the rock is our foundation. You might say, well, who is the rock? Jesus is the rock. Jesus is the rock. You might say, well, how do I know it's my foundation? When you call upon him, he's your foundation. When you say, Father, there's no other but you, he's your foundation. When you trust in him, he is your foundation. He is your rock. Stand upon that rock, which is a firm foundation, which will not fade away. Winds may come, storms may come, floods may come, rain may come, but you gotta keep standing. You gotta just keep standing. That doesn't mean you do anything. You just stand and you look up. Just stand and look up. For your redemption draws nigh, it says in the Word of God. Our redemption draws nigh. Just stand on the firm foundation of the work of the rock of our God. Let him do what he needs to do. Stand on the rock. Stand on the rock. Stand on the rock. And if it seems like you can't stand anymore, you just keep on standing. You keep on standing. You keep on standing. And the winds may come, and you might tip over a little bit, but your feet are still on the rock. And the rains may come, and it may flood, and the water may touch your toes and your feet, but you're still standing upon the rock. You're still standing upon the rock. And as you stand upon the rock, as you look up, God's Holy Spirit, his anointing, his power, his presence will flood your soul. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will flood your heart and your soul. And God will take control of those things. We have to do our part. And when we do our part in laying and in standing upon the rock, God does his part. We got to keep that lamp full of oil. We got to keep it shining. And we got to stand upon the rock. Stand upon him and him alone. It says in Matthew chapter 27, verse 51, it says this, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. When Jesus died on the cross, you might say, well, what veil was rent? Like I talked earlier, the veil between the most holy of holies and the holy place. There was a veil about 10, 12 feet high, 6 inches thick. And God's Holy Spirit, God himself, was in that place. And I know sometimes we may not be able to really conceive that because of the liberty that we have in Christ today, in him being everywhere, it seems like, in our hearts. Whoever wants him, as we call upon him, he comes and enters our hearts. But he was only in that place upon the earth. That was it. No other place. No other place when that temple was built. But it says when Jesus died on the cross that the veil was rent or torn in two. Are cut in two from top to bottom. No man could have done it. And what God was saying, it's time for me to go out of this place. And I'm going to my people. Thank God. See, when Jesus died in the place, he brought reconciliation between God and man. The blood. There's no other blood that could have done it. The perfect blood with no sin in it. At all. At all. And while he was on the earth for 33 years, this man never sinned. He was perfect. And when he died upon the cross and his blood was shed, it was the perfect blood. As he brought it to the Father accepted him and said, I accept your blood as payment for all the sins of the world, from the past, the present, and the future. Thank God. And when he did that, the veil was rent in two. Praise God. And the rocks, there was an earthquake that happened. The rock shook. The power and the presence of the Lord upon this place. And his liberty and his freedom upon our lives. God is looking for a people that will shine their light Amen. To this world. Amen. And not back down. And only God can give us that what we need on the inside. Amen. To not back down. To keep our hearts and our minds towards him forevermore. Because you see, we know God is coming for his people. He says he's coming and the rapture is about to take place. But God is coming for his people. God is coming. And one day he's going to split those eastern skies as he comes. And he'll be in the clouds and we'll meet him in the air and forever be with him. And we will go where he goes and be where he is. For eternity. We got to make sure that that lamp stays full. When the groom was coming, it says the 10 virgins had their oils, lamps. I'm trying to remember the story because I don't have it here. As he was coming, five had enough oil and five ran. And we don't know if they tried to take some of the other ones or act. We don't know. We don't know whatever. But they finally said, go buy some. And so they, when they left, he came. We got to make sure the oil is there. The oil of the Word of God. The oil of His presence in our hearts and in our lives. Never letting it go out. You may stand, please. Oh, you should watch. Have that last song ready for us to sing as we leave today.
Which one? Were you born in here? My guess.
If you would, just bow your heads for just a minute. I want to ask you a very important question today before we leave. And that question is this.
So,
if you were to die today, would heaven be your home? Would heaven be your home? If you have to say, well, I don't know, or you have a doubt in your mind, raise your hand so we can pray with you. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life this morning, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you. I'm just checking to make sure. Anyone? Just checking to make sure. What I can see, everyone's right with the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord God, for today. And Lord God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord God. And Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be with each and every one of us this week. That your anointing would rest upon our hearts and upon our lives this day, Father. Help us to accomplish your will, Lord God. Protect us physically, spiritually, and emotionally, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can start that song, whatever it is. Remember this, people, we love you. Dwayne and I, we appreciate you. And we thank God for you. And I pray you have a great week this week. God bless you. Amen.